Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. If you're looking for a place to hang out, a place to encourage you and help you in a genuine, practical way, you found it. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share with you some words of hope, insight, and relevance. Things that'll definitely connect with you. Oh, and speaking of that, we'd love to keep the conversation going with you after the program. So stay tuned at the end of today's talk, where I'll share with you how we can do just that. Of course, we can also stay connected through our website, richardellistalks.com. So with that in mind, and to get things started with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
There's a great story in Luke chapter 17, and it just is almost an aside. It kind of hit me this week because I read the Bible, and you know, some people think this is a pretty thick book, but there are other books out there that are thicker than this that people read and make it through in a week or two. But this is just an incredible book, and you read it and you go, wow, this is all the stuff that Jesus did or that God did. You know, this is the whole story. It is, in a way, the whole story, but in a way, it's not the whole story. Because if you go through here, you just have little vignettes. You have slices out of a day or out of a week. I mean, Jesus lived for 33 years. His childhood is summed up in, you know, just a few verses. And then about 30, it kicks in, and it shows Jesus in doing miracles and interacting with his disciples. But the book literally says about itself, there aren't enough books on the planet. There would not be enough books to contain what he really did while he was here. I mean, this man, God-man, man and a God, who walked this earth, it was day after day, minute after minute, literally everywhere he went, he was encountering people that were sick, that were screwed up in some way, that were religious or just absolutely pagan, just clueless about who he was. Some were Jews, some were Gentiles. And he went places that no Jew would go. I mean, he'd go through Samaria when everybody went around Samaria. And he spoke to men and to women who no one would speak to, raised like he was, a good Jewish boy. And one of these slices in his life, today we're going to look at, involves some lepers. And I don't know if you know much about leprosy, but back then, if you had leprosy, you had to, by law, basically keep your distance. I mean, if we had lepers, I don't even know if they'd allow lepers to attend a service. I mean, if we had lepers in our service, they might be up in the back of the balcony somewhere, quarantined, and we'd get them in early or get them in late and get them out early, and, you know, everybody'd be freaked out, get those people out of here. And interestingly enough, you don't, I mean, if I said, give me a show of hands, how many of you know a leper? There's probably nobody in here that knows a leper, physically. But I think everybody in the room knows a spiritual leper. Somebody who feels so dirty, so unclean, so distant that the last person they're going to get to is God, much less you. And they just kind of keep themselves to themselves, somewhere else, away from people, thinking, you know what, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm unclean, I know it, and I just better stay the heck away from everybody because there's no chance for me. I come across people like that. You see them, whether you see them or not, I don't know. But there are people everywhere around all of us who feel so distant, and so alone, and so helpless, and so hopeless, they don't really know where to turn. Now, there's 10 of these guys in the story we're going to look at today. And if you look at Luke chapter 17, and let's pick up with verse 11, and it talks about Jesus here, and it says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." And if you've got a little map section in the back of your Bible, or look this up sometimes, you can kind of see that he was in the north of the country. He had to go through Samaria and Galilee, going to Jerusalem. So he's moving from north to south through the country. And it says in verse 12, "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off." They knew where they belonged. They were supposed to be way away from the crowd. But there's 10 of these men, all of them who know they're unclean, all of them who know they've got leprosy, and they kind of banded together, whether they're all Samaritans or some Galileans, it doesn't tell us. But we do know that at least one of them was Samaritan from the context. So he meets there these 10 guys, and usually Jesus traveled, it wasn't an entourage, he just had a bunch of groupies. I mean, Jesus had a lot of people, they didn't necessarily believe in him, some of them believed in him, some of them were just there for the show. I mean, they just wanted to see, you know, is it going to be a free meal today, is he going to do some wow thing again? You know, they just were there for the ride, for the circus. That's how they perceived it. So these 10 men who were lepers stood afar off. They didn't approach Jesus. In verse 13, it says, "And they lifted up their voices and said." Now these guys, I mean, they're just in this town. They probably lived there a long time. That's their place. And they hear this Jesus guy is coming through town and that maybe he does miracles and maybe there's a shot. Maybe there's an outside chance. If they can get in this guy's path, and this happens throughout Scripture, another guy named Zacchaeus had to climb a tree to get in his way. But these 10 guys say, maybe there's a chance if we can just get in the right place at the right time and scream out to this guy that maybe he'll acknowledge us. And that's what happens in verse 13. So they scream out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They even called him Master. They showed him some respect. We're over here, do something, have mercy on us. And it's obvious we're lepers because these guys were covered up. And literally when a leper went through a crowd, they had to cover their face kind of like this. And they just go around with their mouth covered, and they had to say the words unclean, unclean. So everywhere they went when they got around people, what they'd have to do is announce that they had leprosy by saying unclean. Now imagine living your whole life that way. Everywhere you go, you're having to cry out, cover your mouth. You don't want to spit on somebody, get any germs on. Everybody's freaked out anyway. Unclean. The closest thing we have today to this are AIDS patients. Now, there's a misnomer about that. For a long time, you say AIDS, and everybody immediately thinks homosexual. That's not the case. There's plenty of hospitals in this town, all over the country you can go, where it's moms, dads, little kids, blood transfusion. Somehow, these people get AIDS. Now, I'm going to tell you something. They don't have to go around saying unclean, but I think they feel that way sometimes. They have no one. And something as simple as walking up and touching them is revolutionary. You cannot imagine when you feel ugly, you look in the mirror, you are just decrepit, you're sick looking, you've got sores maybe on your body, and no one wants to get near you. You walk up and literally just touch somebody like that. There's power in touching him. And it's simple little things like that, guys. It can have a huge impact on somebody's life. So these guys stand off, these 10, and they cry out and say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, I think there's a lot of people like this today. They're not coming to church. They're not going to come to your Bible study. They're not even going to approach you. And they think they are so rejected, so unclean, so gone. They are so out there because of some sin they've been involved with, some thing they've done. If anybody really knew who I was or where I've been or what I'm doing, they would never take me in. They'd never take me back. Now, I'm going to tell you the good news of the book. It's whosoever and no matter what, there's a place you can get back. You can get home. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. And people say, well, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. I've blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just throw this in here. If you think you've done that, let me tell you how you can be sure you have never blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Because if you care about whether you have or not, you haven't. Okay? If you've committed the unpardonable sin, you don't give a rip anymore about God or anything. You are so seared, you are so far gone, you wouldn't care. You certainly wouldn't be sitting here or even listening to this message. You'd be so far out there. So if you have anything in you that draws you at all to God, then something's going on and that means there's hope. So no matter what you've done, you say, but Richard, you don't understand. You don't know where I've been, what I've done. I'm unclean. I've been out there. I've done stuff that's not even in the Bible. Well, I'll challenge you on that because most everything's in here. There's not much you can try that's not in the book somewhere. So these guys scream out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And verse 14, look what he says. So when he saw them, see, what you don't realize is that he sees you. He sees you. Nobody wanted to see these guys. They ignored him. They got away from him. He saw them. When he saw them, he said to them, all he did was speak, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, that's not what they need. I don't want to go see some religious person. Do something. We got leprosy. Don't you see this here? Go show yourself to the priests. What is that going to do? He didn't go over to him. He just spoke some words to them and said, go show yourself to the priests. Now, there's lots of places in the Bible. In fact, pertaining as it is, as it were, to leprosy, where some bizarre things happen, and God, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Jesus says to do things. In some places, when Jesus heals people, he like spits on the ground and puts mud in their eyes. I mean, just weird stuff. You think, well, I don't believe all that. I'm not gonna do that. Let me tell you something. If Jesus tells you to do something, just do it. You say, but it doesn't make sense. You know what? It isn't about making sense. It's about obedience. You say, but I can't explain it. You don't have to explain it. If you're reading the scriptures and the scripture says, do something, then just do it. Or if you're praying and you're in a relationship, let's say you're dating somebody and they're married or you're sleeping with somebody and you're not married. And you're reading the Bible going, you know, why is my life so screwed up? And why don't I have any peace and joy? Why isn't this thing working? Christianity's supposed to work. And the Holy Spirit somewhere inside of you says, you know what? You got to do something. You got to get rid of this relationship. You got to get out of this relationship. Or you got to do the right thing in this relationship. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense. Everybody else is doing it. You know what? It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. If God tells you to do something, do it. Obey him. Now, you got 10 guys with leprosy. They're screaming out, have mercy on us. And Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Go to church. Go to some religious guy. Why in the world would they go there? Now look at the next phrase. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now what if they had not gone and done what Jesus said to do? I don't think they would have been healed. I think Jesus spoke and he said, do this. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are specific things in your life that maybe for 10, 20, 30 years, maybe 2 months, the Holy Spirit somewhere inside of you has been saying, do this. Speak to someone. Stop doing this. Start doing this. Go here. Don't go there. Telling you specific things. And you're like, you got your fingers in your ears like you can't hear him. I can't hear you. I don't want to hear that. And it gets louder or softer as the case may be. And you just drone on through life trying to make it work out your way. It's not going to work. Thank God that you hear him talking to you. And if he says to do something, guys, just do it. Because as they went, it says, as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed in the process on the way. Now, why did he say go to the priest? When you had leprosy and you were cured of leprosy, and you read this over in the Old Testament, Leviticus and some other places, but when you had leprosy and you were supposedly cured, you had to go show yourself to the priest for some ceremonial cleansing. Now, he didn't heal him right there. He told him to go to the priest because he knew that on the way he would heal them, they would be healed, and by the time they got to the priest, everything would be okay. Now see, some of us want now. You say, God, I want this and I want it now and I want you to do it. And he says, you know what? It isn't happening right now, but it is going to happen and it's going to happen on your way to where I'm telling you to go. Do what I'm telling you to do and this thing will work itself out. You say, well, I'm not interested in that. Then it's not going to happen. Because sometimes you and I have got to take the first step of faith and do what he says with what he's told us and let him do what he's going to do on the way. It's not always now and then boom, you move forward. It's living by faith. The scripture says that just shall live by faith instead of just live. It's by faith you've got to live. And I know this is a hard deal, especially when somebody becomes a Christian. I sit down with people all the time. You tell them the gospel and you just see their whole face contort sometimes, their heart straining like it can't be this easy. So I pray some prayer and say, God, I believe you love me. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, was buried and raised from the dead, and you've purchased this gift of eternal life. And if I receive this gift, you'll come live in me and through me and forgive me of all my sins, and I'll live different, and I'll die and go to heaven. And wow, it'll be great. It's that easy. But people have a hard time just by faith accepting that and taking that first step. Listen to what he's saying to do and say, okay, God, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what you're doing, but I've cried out to you, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. And this is what I think you've told me to do. I'm going to act on it. I'm going to do it. And see what happens. I'm telling you guys, it may happen immediately, but it may happen on the way. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, now look at verse 15, one of them, and this is where we're going today. One of these 10 guys, when he saw that he was healed, somewhere on the way, whether he was already there, it doesn't say this. When he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And I'm not going to try to demonstrate the loud voice, but let me tell you something. If you've got leprosy and you don't have leprosy anymore, you get pretty cranked. I mean, if you've got some incurable disease, some terminal disease, and all of a sudden, just like that, you realize you prayed, something happened, God healed you, some people flip out, okay? You just can't contain yourself. I don't care how conservative and religious you are. There are certain people, certain times, certain places in life, you just can't contain it anymore. You're going to flip out a little bit. One of these guys saw that he was healed. They all saw that they were healed, right? There's 10 of them. They got leprosy. Now they don't have leprosy. But he says here, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. One of them. 10 of them get healed. And one of them did what? Simply went back. And with a loud voice, starts praising God, falls at Jesus' feet, and worships him. And this guy is a Samaritan. He's not a Jew. He's an outsider. He's not only got leprosy, he is even worse than that, a Samaritan. He's despised. He's rejected by Jews. And he falls at Jesus' feet. He's so overcome, so overwhelmed, and so what? Full of gratitude. He's thankful, not thankless. Now, there's a simple suggestion I'm going to make, guys. I'll tell you, one of the ways you know that you're growing as a believer is that your prayers are less and less about you and more about other people. So this guy goes back. He is so full. He is so grateful. He's got to go back to God and thank him. Now, a lot of people go to church, ask God for stuff. And what's great about this prayer time that we have is a lot of the time is spent people standing up and saying things like, God did this for me and I want to thank him. I want to praise him. And it's acknowledging something that's happened, not just asking for stuff and getting it and going on. You watch little kids around a Christmas tree. They get a present, they rip it open, take the toy out, go play with the box, and never say anything. And you got to teach them what? To say thank you. Birthday parties, man, they'll just plow through presents. Little kids plow through stuff, never say thank you. You have to stop them and teach them to say thank you. They love what they got. That's not the problem. They just think they deserve it in some way and go on with it. A sign of maturity and a sign of a relationship with God that's working is you stop and you say, okay, God, I'm in this fix. I know how I got here. I'm saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. He has mercy. He fixes it. And you stop and you find yourself at his feet, not asking for something, but saying, you know what? I'm here to say thank you. You spared my life. You got me out of this one. And I'm thanking you. I'm grateful. I'm not thankless. I'm thankful, God. So this guy falls down, worships him with his loud voice, a Samaritan. And verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, now he knows how many, the details, Jesus in details, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are your buddies? Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Calls him a foreigner. Now see, God loves you. And he's going to keep loving you. Nothing can separate you from his love, period. But I'm going to tell you as a parent how this thing shakes down. There is something about giving to your kids. You'll give, you'll give, you'll give. You'll love them. You'll just keep going. You'll keep going. But when that child turns around at some point and spontaneously and willingly and by choice says, Mommy, thank you. I love you. Thank you. I really like this. Thank you. When they come back and say, man, you're a great parent. Of course, we have to wait a few years for that one. At some point, I'm going to tell you how I know this happens, because there are things that I think of. Yesterday, I was thinking through some stuff about this in this category, and I got to thinking about things when I was a kid, like braces. I was a missionary kid, a doctor when we were on furlough, came home. This doctor said, you've only got 6 months. We'll try to do all your work in 6 months, and he donated it and did this work, but he didn't finish. It didn't work. I had to go to Brazil, and when I got to Brazil, the doctors weren't free. They didn't care, you know, about all the missionary stuff. And I got to think about little stuff like this that wasn't so little. Somewhere that money came from on a limited budget, and I'm still going to the orthodontist getting my teeth fixed. And when you become a parent, you start adding this stuff up and you realize, you know, unless they were just mega bazillionaire trust fund babies, there's only so much money. And if it got spent on me, it didn't get spent on them somewhere. And you've got people in your life, whether it's parents, family members, and if you stop even today and you say, you know what is it they did that I never acknowledged, that if I just picked up the phone or wrote in a little note, it would absolutely shock the fire out of them. Because they'd have done it anyway, and whether you thanked them or not, it doesn't matter. But you know what? It does matter. Because here Jesus is saying, okay, acknowledges the one who came back. But he said, weren't there 10 of you that got healed? Where are the other 9? In other words, I did it anyway, and I'm not going to take it back. But where are the other 9? And the foreigner is the one that shows up. I'm recommending, guys, not just with God this week or today, but with your family, with friends. Sometimes just some appreciation. It's just going back and saying, God, thank you. To your husband, your wife, your children, thank your kids when they do something. Encourage them. You say, well, this is stupid stuff. Let me tell you something. This is what life is made of. Now, the toughest stuff on this, and the scripture talks about this, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, let me tell you where this gets impossible. When things don't go your way, when bad things happen, you think they're bad and they are bad, but God says, you know what? Thank me anyway. You get a new car, great. The car you got breaks down, God says, thank me. You go, yeah, that didn't make any sense. He says, thank me. It doesn't matter if it makes sense to you. Thank me. I told you that's my will. Thank me. So you find yourself saying, Father, I thank you for this car that doesn't run anymore because you're going to bring some good from it. I trust you. I thank you. I praise you. Even when things go bad because you got nowhere else to go but to him. Verse 18 again. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Verse 19. And he said to the guy who came back, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. It's your faith, the fact that you took that step. Now, God's going to heal a lot of people, do a lot of good things for a lot of people. But guys, there's a great moment when you come back, when you go back to God and say, you know what? I remember. I asked and you came through and I'm acknowledging that. And I'm not going to be thankless. I'm going to be thankful. And I'm going to ask you to forgive me when I haven't, but to take this forgiveness. Let me show you one other thing in Romans 1. Turn over a few pages to the right, just a few verses. Romans 1:19, let's start there. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in God. You know what? The Bible says you're without excuse. It's everywhere. He's everywhere. Who he is and what he is and what he's like, it's everywhere. You cannot live on the planet and not believe there's a God. The Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God. I didn't say it. That's what the Bible says. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Look at the next phrase. Nor were thankful. Simple little thing. But became. Now here's what your options are. You can either glorify God and be thankful or become futile in your thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. You'll start to get foolish in the way you think, and your heart will get dark. Know anybody like this? They won't turn to God. They won't believe in God. They start just thinking foolish stuff. It doesn't even make any sense, the irrational stuff they come up with, and their foolish hearts get dark. It just gets darker. It gets darker. They go farther and farther away. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and you read on what happens, and God just basically turns them over. You don't want to get turned over, and if you want to go home and read the rest of Romans 1, stop, thank him, acknowledge him, and say, God, I don't want to go away from you. I want to come to you. I want to do the right thing, not just with you, but with people around me.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. There's a prayer wall to share your prayer request where others can pray for you along with us. And our Find a Station is a great search feature to find a radio station. There's a spotlight tab highlighting our latest featured programs, a place where you can financially partner with us on our contribute link, and a whole lot more. There's a ton of great stuff there just for you. So check it out. It'll be well worth your time. RichardEllisTalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
If you say, well, I don't have anything to thank God for, let me give you one thing. The God of the universe, in the person of his son, left heaven, came to earth, God in a man, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, was buried, raised from the dead, shed his blood to pay for your sin and mine, and did it all for no other reason but that he loves us and wants to provide a place for us in heaven, but also a way to live between here and heaven that works. And you say, well, I don't know that I can buy all that. I don't know if I believe all that. I got questions. That's fine. Keep asking questions. But don't turn and run the other way. And just say, God, you know what? I don't understand it. And I believe that Jesus did it for me. I'm the one that screwed up. I'm the one with the sin. I'm the one that needs forgiveness. I'm the one that's run from you. I got nowhere else to go. And it's like you're standing on the side of the road in your heart saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. I'm the sinner. I'm the one that needs your forgiveness. I'm telling you guys, just like that, there's no word he has to speak now. It's already done. It is a done deal. All you have to do is reach out the hands of your heart, as it were, and say, God, it's me. I need your forgiveness. I ask you to come live in me and through me to make me clean. Give me a new slate. The Bible talks about it being born a second time. It's like getting born all over again in a spiritual sense. You get a fresh start, a clean slate. It doesn't get any better than that. Now, there's still consequence to some of the sins, but guys, you get the peace of God and the God of peace and the joy and the love and the fear that goes out the window. It's just unbelievable, the benefits, if you'll just say yes. You say, well, I've already done that. Now, let me give you a great suggestion if you've already done that. You say, I did that 20, 30 years ago. When's the last time you thanked him? Now, I'm going to tell you something, guys. It'll change your day. I don't care what end of the bed you get out on. It can be the worst situation, the worst day, the worst circumstances, money, everything going wrong. If you will wake up and start your day like this, Father, I thank you that you love me and that you gave your son, Jesus, to die for me. And without him, I would have nothing. I'd be nowhere. I'd have nobody but you. And that he shed his blood to pay for my sin. And because of that, I am forgiven. I've been bought back. I'm your child. I'm going to tell you something, guys. You just start thanking God and praying that way, your day is going to turn on a dime. Because you can't think about what he's done for you and not be grateful and it not change your attitude and your outlook. It doesn't matter what happens to us, guys. If you've got that going on in you and through you, everybody around you is going to be different, including you. It just doesn't get much better than that. I want to be thankful, not thankless.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way we can keep talking is at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk preview sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Last thing before we go, if you enjoy Richard's messages, let someone know about it. All of Richard's talks can be forwarded to your friends from our website, so your friends can hear them too. RichardEllisTalks.com. Till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.